The world is going to end in 12 years if we don't address climate change.
Bullshit.
Oh my God.
That's legit not funny.
Shut the fuck up.
Suck my dick.
The Safari Park.
You're killing me, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hats off to Larry.
Larry. Fucking Larry.
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 Larry. Larry, get into bed now.
Come on, Larry. Larry.
Better get your shit together. The bucket list, the will. Start having risky sex. Eat dessert first. Fuck the gym. Just throw caution to the wind because, as you just heard, Congresswoman and clairvoyant Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez says, in just 12 short years, we're toast. Which really renders everything else meaningless, doesn't it? Regular listeners know I'm crazy for doomsday. I've done a bunch of episodes on it. Episode 7, 39, 99, 121. There were others. It's just so much fun. And now, we've finally got a definitive prediction we can count on. I'll circle back to AOC's apocalypse in a little bit, but first, let's have a quick look at another story that's on fire. People are calling it the Covington High School scandal and the standoff at the Lincoln Memorial. I think it should be called the dawn of face crime. Because now, thanks to this story, the expression on your face can be a crime. There was a time, and not all that long ago, when people got into some kind of beef and maybe a punch was thrown, and if a cop was called, the cops would often try to settle it on the spot. They'd ask the necessary questions on scene. Who threw the first punch? What did you do that made you slug him? Oh, really? You shoved him? Well, what did you expect? The two of you just go home and put this behind you, or I'll lock you both up and there'll be a world of shit, court dates, legal fees, and so on. Exchanges like that were common all across America. That was then. Now, any physical confrontation, no matter how slight or uneventful, must involve police and courts, and of course, lawyers. Lots and lots of lawyers. And thanks to the moronic and very dangerous term, hate speech, what people say can also ensnare you in the legal system. Hate speech, of course, came out of the equally moronic phrase, hate crime. Has anyone ever stabbed or shot or had their property vandalized or stolen due to a love crime? Seems like most violent crime is fueled by hate. But hate crimes apply only to certain groups, not to everyone. Every day, people are robbed, beaten, and murdered by perpetrators just vibrating with hate. But unless the victim's part of a special group, do cops and courts pursue their cases with equal vigor? You have to wonder. Hate crimes make the news. They give politicians photo ops and publicity. Plain old crime just isn't as glamorous. Seems to fly in the face of that equal protection under the law stuff, doesn't it? Out of the idiocy of hate crime comes hate speech, which is far, far more dangerous. People all around the world are doing prison terms because of something they said, or posted, or tweeted. Most nations now have hate speech laws, from Australia to the UK. The idea of hate crime and hate speech takes the factual, the real, and the tangible out of the legal realm and ratchets it into the field of the psychic, the extrasensory, where people are to be prosecuted as much as for what they've done as for what they were thinking or feeling when they did it. That's fucked. I've been married to my wife a long time. She knows me pretty well. Yet she constantly misinterprets my facial expressions. She'll ask me, what's the matter, thinking I'm pissed off or sad about something, when most of the time I might have a sliver of tortilla chip stuck between a, a molar in my gums, or maybe the chicken tikka masala is giving me heartburn, or my MCL knee is bugging me. Yet, cops and courts and lawyers are going to figure out exactly what's in someone's mind and heart and arrest, prosecute, and punish accordingly. And we've just turned a new corner in America. Hate crime and hate speech are real and prosecutable, and now we've got face crime. In the video, which runs nearly 2 hours, nothing happens. Not a fucking thing. Bunch of high school kids do their high school cheers. Meanwhile, some guys calling themselves the Black Hebrew Israelites, guys that the Southern Poverty Law Center described as, quote, obsessed with hatred of whites and Jews, those guys shout some really nasty shit, but just words. Then some guy claiming to be a Vietnam vet and an elder in an Indian tribe gets into the act. He walks up to one kid and bangs a drum in the kid's face. The kid just smiles. He does not speak. He does not push the guy away. He does not throw a punch. He just smiles. And through the miracle of video editing and a completely biased media, this non-story was spun into a huge fucking deal. With the amount of attention it's grabbed, you might assume there was, at the very least, a riot, some violence, maybe a killing or two, at least a few arrests. There was nothing. But within hours, Twitter was ablaze with moral outrage. The kid was a racist. The kid was a thug. And then the vitriol flowed like lava from Kilauea. Because somehow, all those asshats at CNN and Fox and MSNBC, all of them, and dozens of celebs and Hollywood fuckballs on Twitter, they all, in unison, removed their asshats and then put on their psychic swami turbans and got in the lotus position and intuited with their outsized intellects that the kid's smile was actually a smirk, and a smirk is disrespectful. And they went to town on the kid. A writer for GQ magazine tweeted, "Dox them all." Reza Aslan, a truly odious asshole, tweeted that the kid had a punchable face. Some Hollywood dipshit suggested the kid be fed into a wood chipper. A skanky SNL writer offered a blowjob to anybody who punched the kid in the face. Some jackhole DJ, calls himself House Shoes, urged the world to burn down their school. Nice, huh? There's your new America, folks. If they don't approve of the look on your face, well, the only fair punishments are beating or death by fire or wood chipper. Even the school these kids attended could not issue an apology fast enough, condemning the disrespectful behavior of their students. Not sure if they've yet amended their statement. Why is smiling, or smirking, disrespectful? Why does one person owe another one respect, even when the other guy is banging a drum in his face? Again, little is known about Phillips' military record or his heritage, but he did lie about the kid blocking his path. One look at the video shows there's plenty of room on either side of that kid to pass, but Phillips chose to remain and bang his drum in the kid's face. He lied. Now some restaurant guy named Jeff Ruby has offered to fly Nathan Phillips first class to his restaurants for a sit down with the Covington kids. Ruby sees an opportunity to ride this story to bigger revenues, I guess, while positioning himself as a peacemaker. I'd never heard of Ruby. Here's the first line of his eatery's website, quote, "Having celebrities at his restaurants is a common occurrence in Jeff Ruby's restaurants," unquote. Maybe redundant Ruby should spend that airfare on hiring a decent copywriter. I don't even understand the people who are commending the kid for showing, quote, restraint, unquote. Frankly, I'm a little disappointed. The kid had every right to say, "Hey, you, get that fucking drum out of my face." Banging a drum in someone's face is harassment, is it not? An invasion of personal space, an act of aggression, and it should be answered not with violence, but not with a smile, either. Maybe the kid should have whipped out a police whistle and given Phillips 120 decibels. See how he liked that sound. That might have been an appropriate response. Nathan Phillips walked up to that kid. The kid did not approach him. Nathan Phillips might be a vet and tribal elder, but is that supposed to somehow make him better than anyone else? Give him a license to bang a drum inches from someone's face? Already there's a lot of controversy over Phillips' status as a vet and his standing within his tribe. We'll see how that plays out. What the media and the Twitterverse really wished the kid had done was pull a dagger, hand it to Phillips, and say, "Here, superior elder being, please plunge this through my heart, for I am not worthy of your drumming." Only that would have made all of them happy. The big irony is that this all happened at the Lincoln Memorial, right around MLK Day. Wonder if Lincoln or King were resurrected without any prep or advance notice, having no information about America since their deaths, and were shown a half hour of any newscast. Would either of them believe how fucked this nation has become? King tried to address racial tensions in his time. Other than those tensions, America was generally peaceful, generally harmonious. But now, everybody hates everybody. It's mind-blowing. People say America is divided. That is an inadequate word. America is splintered, maybe even shattered, into hundreds of groups. They used to call baseball the national pastime. Now it's defining our differences. Everybody's got to pigeonhole themselves into their own little slot, exactly like those old hotel mail shelves with three walls, a roof, a floor, and only one open wall with a view that never changes. And those pigeonholes are really mirrored echo chambers, bunkers built to insulate and filter out. What caused this? Social media is a huge contributor, right? Zuckerberg's stated intention for Facebook was to bring the world closer together. Meanwhile, there are 620 million Facebook groups. They fragmented the world more than the Tower of Babel. And whatever our preferences on any social media platform, algorithms serve up only what will keep us satisfied and certain that we are correct. Group, group, group. Are you as fucking sick of groups as I am? Black, brown, white, Asian, urban, inner city, suburban, rural, affluent, middle class, poverty level, boomer, Gen X, millennial, Gen Z, left wing, right wing, moderate, rust belt, corn belt, Bible belt, union worker, government worker. I'm fucking sick of them all. Maybe groups are the source of all that trouble. Why can't we just take people as individuals? My wife once needed emergency surgery. It was a life-or-death situation, truly. The surgeon assembled a crew on the fly, and as about seven or eight of them wheeled her into the OR, it looked like a staged picture that could have been captioned "Medical professionals from around the world." Why would anyone give a shit what group any of them were a part of? The only group that mattered to me was the competency group, which they were. They saved her life, and she recovered quickly. But back to face crime. I had a friend who was a fairly highly placed executive with one of the major TV networks. As happens eventually to every corporate slave, he got fired. But they called him into a conference room to let him know he was getting canned. There were already a handful of executioners gathered round the conference table, and my buddy had always been a very funny guy. He could always crack you up, and he always appeared to be smiling at some joke that only he was aware of. He had sort of a half-smile on his face all the time. And he had advanced knowledge that this meeting was a firing, and he found that amusing. He had already retained a vicious attorney to negotiate his severance. He had a guaranteed pension, so he really wasn't all that worried. So the room gets full quorum, and one of his bosses looks at my pal and says,
"Wipe that smirk off your face."
To which my pal responded, "That's not a smirk. That's just my face. But you can wipe my ass with your lips. Fuck you." And he left the room. He was already getting fired, so being respectful, which is often confused with obsequious, would not have put another cent in his pocket. So why not go out like a lion instead of a pussy? He got to humiliate his boss in front of his boss's peers. That's a take-no-shit move. So much for smirks. You know, I've got a thing for doomsday. Most guys do. It's a chance to reset, reboot a world that's gone foobar. I've done several shows on various doomsday scenarios. I guess I can't get enough of them. And now we have this fresh Bet the Farm on It doomsday prediction from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who seems to be getting better known by her initials, AOC. She's a commie, but she's getting a lot of traction, a lot of attention. Look at me, even I'm talking about her goofy prediction. There was more to her statement. She sees climate change as this generation's World War II.
And, like, this is the war, this is our World War II. And I think for younger people, we're looking at this and we're like, how are we saying, let's take it easy?
You know, we need a good world war. Something to reset our priorities from who pisses in what toilet, and if we smirk or smile, and all the other important issues that concern us. Maybe AOC will declare war on climate change. Yeah, that ought to work. Probably as well as those other wars some of her moron politician predecessors have declared, like the war on drugs, the war on poverty. How are those going? Maybe that's her path to universal income. Just draft everybody into the CCA. That's the Climate Change Army. We can all register online at a government website that only works 3 hours a week, and then choose between a little plastic helmet or a parasol as protection from acid rain. Uniforms will not be gender specific. Every draftee, which is everybody, gets $15 an hour and an iPhone. And we all just walk around all day shooting video of leaky garden hoses and exhaust pipes on idling cars and windows without weather stripping and buildings without solar panels and trash unsorted into recyclables. Then we upload them to another government website and SWAT teams are dispatched to rectify the situations we've reported. Anybody caught smirking will be jailed and re-educated while in jail. And if, after 12 years of this, the world is still spinning, we can declare AOC's war the war that saved the planet. And we can make her our empress. Sound like a plan? I have a quick update for you. You may recall in episode 121, Larry predicts Armageddon. I went off on some guy that owns a vending machine company who had most of his employees chipped. Yeah, RFI chips injected under their skin for convenience. They could use those chips to log into a copy machine or unlock a phone and buy Chex Mix and Sprite from the vending machines in the gloomy company canteen. Must be some fucking cheap shit company where the phones and copy machines are on lockdown, huh? But think of the convenience. Magnetic cards or a cell phone. which can do everything a skin chip does way more. But they're so heavy, hard to carry around. I didn't think much of Todd Westby or his company or his chips. Seems I'm not the only one. There's a bill on the docket to stop that shit. Some were calling it the Mark of the Beast. More like the Mark of the Stupid. Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again. I have a kick-ass bonus episode in the works for all you wonderful Patreonies, and that will post before month's end. There's more than 24 others waiting for you at patreon.com/thatlarryshow. Write to me at thatlarryshow@gmail.com or call the dojo at 302-71-LARRY. Follow the show on Twitter and Facebook. Just plug in That Larry Show into those search bars and presto, there you are. My friends, I'll see you next Tuesday or thereabouts. And in the interim, buy a police whistle and put it on your keychain. Take no unsolicited drumming and take no shit.